Now that it's full summer, many of us like to take a little R&R out in nature. And there is scientific proof that spending time in green space can help reduce stress, fatigue, anxiety, and depression. It can even help boost our immune systems. But in an urban area such as Los Angeles County, those green spaces aren't always easy to find. The LA County Department of Parks and Recreation is working hard to make the most of our open spaces. In fact, they just opened a new park in Carson that's been 3 decades in the making. And our kids and teens, they need a little R&R too. While they're out on summer vacation, they still have options for keeping busy and finding new skills and hobbies. To help with that, the YMCA of Metropolitan Los Angeles has launched its annual Get Summer Teen Membership Program, and the best part is, it's free. Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner, and this is Fox 11 News In Depth. We do love our green spaces, don't we? In some areas, they've actually had to fight for them. A park that just opened recently in West Carson is one of those places. It's called Wishing Tree Park, and it's really kind of a wish come true for locals. The community has been pushing to turn a former industrial site into a park for 30 or so years. Joining us to talk about that are Norma Garcia Gonzalez, director of Los Angeles County Department of Parks and Recreation, and Cynthia Babich, founder and director of the Del Amo Action Committee. And hi there. Welcome to both of you. And this sounds like quite a story. Tell me a little bit about this. I mean, let's start with Norma. This was an industrial site?
It was an industrial site that had been, you know, full of toxic. It was a degraded parcel that for many decades, the community, I'm so glad we have Cynthia here to talk about the key role that the community played in really creating this beautiful park. But for many decades, the community kept the dream alive of really turning a degraded and toxic parcel of land into green space where families and children can enjoy. And I know you showed pictures of our opening day. It was a magical, joyful day for Los Angeles County and the communities of West Carson.
You know, I would imagine that after years and years, decades after decades of trying to make something happen, and you finally pull it off, that's got to be just like the best feeling ever. And Cynthia, tell us what the Del Amo Action Committee is and how did you get involved?
The Del Amo Action Committee was actually formed around this particular area and the contamination and the fact that things weren't really getting done in the community. And so we formed 30 years ago, and our main purpose was to understand about the legacy contamination from World War II that's in the area, but also really push for change. The house that I was renting was actually located in the parking lot of Wishing Tree Park, and it was so contaminated there that we advocated and won the relocation of 27 families, which created this space for Wishing Tree Park.
Well, what's in the park, the playgrounds, and Norman, tell me also, how toxic was it?
So it was a site that needed to be remediated. And we worked for decades with state agencies to ensure that this park could be safe for children and families. So I want to assure the public that it is safe for all to enjoy. But what's really beautiful about this story is 30 years in the making, a whole long time. But every aspect of that park reflects community wish. And so it's wonderful that it's called Wishing Tree. From the playgrounds, to the futsal courts, to the landscaping, to the trees, the picnic shelters, to the baseball field, 8.5 acres of park. The first park to be created in this unincorporated West Carson community reflects what the community's wishes were for this beautiful open space.
Well, you know, that name is very, very fairy tale like. Wishing Tree Park. Cynthia, where'd that come from?
Well, we go door to door and do our outreach in the community. And as the park was being envisioned, I was going door to door and I knocked on a door very near the park. And a grandmother opened the door, and these three little kids come flitting out of the door like little butterflies and bees, and so excited someone was at the door. And I was telling them about the park that was coming, and they said, well, what about the trees? And we had a little discussion about how important trees were, and they said, no, the trees that are back there. And we had some trees that, well, they're still there, but they're in containers. They waited all those decades for the park to open, and the thought was they would be planted in the park. And I said, oh, well, what is important about those trees? And they said, well, those are the wishing trees. And I said, what do you mean? And they said, well, we write our wishes on there, and then our grandma takes us over there and we tie them up into the trees. So
I like that story.
Immediately walked over there, and I could see, yes, it was a beautiful story. So we voted on it, and that was the one that won.
Wishing tree. You know, we talked about its toxic nature, but it used to be polluted. And I guess I'm wondering why it took 30 years.
I think I will tell you, these are complicated sites. And I have to share with you, 30 years is a whole lot of time. But it was a very complicated site. And not tree parks are not necessarily created in these types of degraded lands. And so I think I told Cynthia, it took us a whole lot of time to actually create this park, but this park serves as inspiration and hope, because now we know how to do this. Now we can do better. And now we're very excited that we've taken Wishing Tree Park, all of the experiences, the learning of taking a contaminated and toxic site and turning it into green space magic. And we can replicate that because we now have a pilot of how we can do better and how we can do faster.
Let me ask you real quick, because we have less than a minute here. Tell me, you know, what's in that park? I know there are swings. I know there are slides. I know there are plants that are pollinator-type plants. Well, what's out there?
We've created a microforest there. So also you have beautiful trees, and Cynthia mentioned the trees, but really a place where people can sit under a tree and have a picnic. There's a memorial plaza for all of the families whose houses were once on that land, as well as all of the neighbors who fought for 30 years to make this park happen. So there is a walkway, a promenade. There is a building where we are now having free after school programs, where our seniors are gathering for programming. So there's a little bit of everything.
A little bit, and even some cheeseburgers there. That looks pretty good, actually. All right, Norma Garcia Gonzalez and Cynthia Babbage, thanks so much. We'll be right back with you, Norma. Don't go away. And coming up next on Fox 11 News in Depth, we talk more with Norma about what's new with LA County's parks and a recent milestone they celebrated. We'll be right back with that. And goats. Yes, goats. Don't go away. Welcome back to Fox 11 News in Depth. I'm Hal Eisner, and as we mentioned before, there is scientific proof that spending time in nature improves our health, our fitness, and can even fight loneliness. Seems like a good enough reason for us to develop more park space. Let's talk about that. Back with us, Norma Garcia Gonzalez, director of the Los Angeles County Department of Parks and Recreation. Now, just this year, the department celebrated a milestone, right? Its 80th anniversary?
Yes, Hal. 80th birthday. We're so excited that LA County Parks has served millions of residents throughout Los Angeles County through our parks, our open spaces, our natural areas, our trails, our gardens, and we're celebrating a milestone birthday.
You know, and to honor that, you've launched a campaign to get kids outside. Tell us a little bit about that.
You know, it's more and more difficult to get children away from their computers, away from their iPhones. And we know that being outdoors, we know that playing, we know that socializing, we know that breathing air is so good for the mental, emotional, and physical well-being of children. So we've launched a Let's Play Outside campaign, offering over 200 free activities in the month of July to celebrate our 80th birthday.
Now, this program, this initiative is for kids who have disabilities as well?
We're so excited. We've partnered with various community-based organizations so that all our programming is inclusive, but specifically our adaptive community, inclusive community, we are offering free sports programs for our adaptive youth so that they can also play and have a wonderful time at LA County Parks.
And what is this Parks After Dark program? What is that?
Our Parks After Dark is a national award-winning program, and it's really a violence reduction program. And the whole premise is that when our parks are activated at night, when families feel safe walking and spending time with each other, our parks are safer, but our communities are safer. And so we now have a lot of data that says if a park stays open to 10 o'clock at night on Thursdays, on Fridays, and Saturdays, where stuff tends to happen, where families are connecting with their teenagers, multi-generational, engagement, and they're out having a good time at the parks, we are safer. And so we activate every aspect of our park. Our pools are open to 10 o'clock at night. Our gyms are open, our playgrounds, and so much dynamic programming for the whole family to enjoy. And the best part is, everything is free.
Everything is free. The department recently opened another park along the San Gabriel River. Tell us about that. And it has something to do with goats. Is that the greatest of all time goats?
The G-O-A-T. But I will tell you, it has something to do with ducks as well. So that was the last remaining working duck farm in Los Angeles County. So for some of you 20 years ago that remember passing by the 605 freeway and smelling ducks, we have a wonderful partnership with the state of California, the Rivers and Mountains Conservancy, to acquire that parcel and turn it into a natural sanctuary. And this is where the goats come in. We have actually partnered with goats so that we can employ really safe methods to maintain and operate our natural environment. And so our goats are doing the weeding for us.
You know, you don't often see goats. I mean, they're around. But I was always taken by the Reagan Library out there in Simi Valley. They use goats to deal with wildfire remediation and to eat up all the grass so they don't have, a wildfire probability there. So goats have a great place in these park areas. And I guess I'm also wondering, what do you have coming up in the near and the far future?
So, Hal, we're so excited. 80 years and we've only just begun. We know that climate change, we know that it's warming up, and we know especially that being outdoors, connecting to nature, being under trees, resting is so good for our well-being. And so our hope is that we really are engaging in a plan to look at degraded lands like you saw at Wishing Tree, now that we have a framework to do it, and take those abandoned lands and turn them into green spaces. Because we know when we activate and turn abandoned lands and degraded lands into green spaces, children and families benefit from that. And so does nature. So that is the goal for the next 80 years of LA County Parks.
And that benefit really is to our health. You're taking in nitrogen and you're expelling carbon dioxide, right? And so, you're out there doing stuff that actually helps your respiratory system, right?
There's so much happening right now with mental crisis and mental well-being. And we know that if you're outside, you automatically de-stress, and you're absolutely, we de-stress, we take in oxygen, and we feel better about ourselves. And so every community should have these parks so that we can thrive, and we can also connect with our neighbors in our community and have a fun and playful experience doing
so. And on the mental health side, it really does give us a chance to socialize, maybe even meet some new friends.
That's absolutely one of, we know that the aging population, we know that social connection is so critical. So we have seen an enormous amount of increase of our aging community coming to our parks to walk, to play tennis. Pickleball is growing, to have lunch in our parks and just socialize and be with each other. So parks are so needed as part of our daily medicine.
All right, Norma Garcia Gonzalez, all the best in the next 80 years. Come back 80 years from now and we'll do an update. How's that
sound?
Thank
you so much, Al.
Okay. All right, thank you so much. Coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, we talk more about summer activities, this time for teenagers. The YMCA is hosting a teen program called Get Summer, and we'll get to that right after the break. Don't go away. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. With kids out of school for the summer, it becomes a challenge to find things for them to do and get them off their phones and get them away from the video games. But we know one solution, and joining us right now is Christopher Jefferson, Senior Vice President and Chief Youth Development Program Officer for the YMCA. Christopher, good to see you. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
And you've launched this annual Get Summer free teenage program. What is Get Summer?
Yeah, Get Summer, it's just an opportunity for young folks ages 12 to 17 to do something productive during the summertime. And so the YMCA opens its doors every summer for the months of June, July, and August to really allow teenagers to come in, find a place where they belong and do something productive during the summertime.
All right, something productive. So do you have some special programs, or do you really just come mix and mingle?
We have tons of things for the kids to do. You know, I think what's most important is that feeling of isolation that they feel during the summer, they can come to the Y and be a part of something. But there's tons of programming for them to do as well, from swimming in our pools, to lifting weights and cardio, to socializing with friends or attending special events. So there's a lot of opportunities for them.
Are there learning programs like learn how to do art, learn photography, learn this, learn that?
Yeah, so we actually have a program called Youth Institute. It's a free program as a part of our Youth Institute for Media Arts. And our kids learn photography, they learn green screen, they learn to edit films, they learn to edit music. They also go on nature retreats and work with other YMCAs to build up their skills.
Am I young enough to attend that? Because it sounds like fun.
Come on by. We're happy to have you.
Well, what's required to attend?
For Get Summer, there's nothing required. Bring your parent down to your local YMCA and have them sign you up, and you're ready to go for Get Summer.
And what do teens actually get out of it? Now, this isn't your first time.
Yeah.
How many years has it been going on?
We are hitting our ninth year, so next year it'll be 10 years of Get Summer with the Los Angeles Y. Over 5,000 teenagers are coming through the YMCA and experiencing programs.
So when we talk about 5,000 kids that have come through the program, in how many years?
Over the past 9 years.
That's
each year.
5,000 each year?
Each year.
Times nine?
Times nine
years. Math is?
Oh, and that's not me.
but you get feedback from these kids, or it's just the intuitive feedback?
It's quite incredible to witness. I work in a local YMCA. I see these kids come in every day. I think about my own 16-year-old who's at home, and he's a football player, so he's pretty active. But there's a lot of kids who don't have those opportunities. And so when they come to the YMCA, they really get to put down those electronics, get away from that isolation they feel when their parents are working at home. And it really bridges that summer gap between the end of school and going back to keep them stimulated and to keep them engaged.
But do you get feedback from them at the end of the session saying, you know, I don't want this to end?
Oh, yeah. And it doesn't have to, right? What's great about the YMCA is it's open every single day. It's open for everybody. And when you think about the Y, or whenever I tell someone, I work for the YMCA, it always goes back to that childhood memory of I went to the Y as a kid, or the Y was my first place of employment. And so we get great feedback from these young folks about what it really means for them to be a part of the YMCA and to build a community.
You talk about there's something there year-round. But this summer program, how long does that last? When does that end?
Yeah, so that goes all the way through August 16th. So it started this past June, and we've been welcoming teens at all of our local YMCAs. So all the way until school gets started, they can come to the Y anytime, any day.
How many kids do you have there now?
Oh, there's thousands of kids in Get Summer.
Are
right
you
now
up to 5,000 again?
We are almost there. We're almost there.
So really, you've hit 5,000 every year. This is the 10th year?
This is the ninth year.
The
we'll
ninth
celebrate
year.
Our 10th year next summer.
Do you see the kids repeating? Are they coming back? Or are these all new kids every year?
No, they're not just coming back. They're becoming YMCA employees.
Well, that was my next question. Yeah. Because sometimes what you do when you have a program like that, or a camp program of some kind, you actually build your future staff. You're counselors in training.
Yeah, I've been with the YMCA 20 years, and my team is full of kids who are now adults who came through the YMCA program. When you're 16, you can become a lifeguard, a swim instructor, a childcare worker. You can volunteer at camp and leadership roles. And so we see that evolution from the time kids are born all the way through their entire lifespan.
Lifetime service.
Where they can stay connected to the YMCA and their local community. So it's really cool to witness.
You know, I'm wondering, 9 years ago, was it the same program then that you're offering now, or have over 9 years you developed new programs, new things to do?
Yeah, you know, the pandemic obviously changed a lot of things, right? Kids have survived trauma, and so we have to approach programming in a much more trauma-informed way. We also have great partnerships. Just a couple weeks ago, the LA Clippers organization came out and did a teen basketball clinic, and they're teaching kids how to play, how to officiate, and all these cool things. And so as we evolve, as the needs of the community evolve, and as kids start coming out of that trauma from the pandemic, we see that evolution happening in our program.
That's pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
I love it when I see professional organizations come out to do something with kids. That's just a wonderful thing.
We've got connections with the Clippers, the Dodgers, the LA Kings, LA Galaxy, and they've been wonderful supporters of young folks in the YMCA and throughout the community.
That's
so it's
fantastic.
Great partnerships.
Fantastic. Christopher Jefferson, thank you so much
thank
for joining
you.
Us. And we'll be back with more Fox 11 News in depth right after this break. Don't go away. Thanks. That was really good. Still, we are there for a moment. That was really good. There's a lot of moving parts to that. And finally, if you want to hear an audio version of this program, check out my podcast. It's called What the Hal, and it's available wherever you subscribe to podcasts, or just go to whatthehalpodcast.com. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News In Depth. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.